trying to be.
L Will made the beat down, beat down.
Persistence, my inconsistencies and everything that stopped my mission. I'm so obsessed with me and what I'm getting, that times I miss what you've been telling me and what's your vision. I can't even see the bigger picture if my name ain't mentioned. That's not my plan at all. At times I fall to selfishness. I'm helpless if your spirit ain't with me. I need your help in this. Get so consumed in what I don't got that I missed the mark. I'm being transparent with you, at least we have a start. Confess my sin to you, I hope that's what my friends will do. Without you I'm just filthy rags, dirt on my Timberland boots. I preach it so you hear the truth and know you not alone. 10 years saved and I still battle issues that I thought were gone. That's why I trust in you, I need you, I'm in love with you. I seek your face, I praise your name, I'll never get enough of you. That's why I trust in you, I need you, I'm in love with you. I seek your face, I praise your name, I'll never get enough of you, yeah.
For your mercy, and I ask forgiveness for all the people that hurt me. My lack of living water really had me thirsty, but now my thirst is quenched, so I pray for the ones that curse me. How could I not recognize that missing you was an issue? Tough times was hard to get through without wanting to use a pistol, but now I understand the battle wasn't for me, and that the blood of Jesus Christ is running through me, and that the dirty devil's coming, he's gunning for me, but I got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he's one in the three. That's why I lift his name up. Don't care about being famous. How could you really blame us? Jesus is the one who changed us. I thank him every day, hour, minute, even second. I'm tearing giants down, excuse me, Mr. Odell Beckham.
Wanna go with the Heavenly Father, I'm giving you all of me, God, giving you raw, cut, funna, jump, cause you never left once, I can never repay you, I can never come close, but I praise you, wanna thank you for the great and the grace and the payment, for the faith and the favor,
This is why I carry out the call for the lost, reaching, teaching people, leading to the cross, yeah, give you all my time that you borrow, you the boss, you the reason I'm redeeming my power, yeah. Praise you even when I'm going through it. God told me go, and that's the reason why I'm going through it. Lifting up my palms to the one who the throne, who the city, who the faded on the cross.
The enemy can't even attack from the back, cause I'm giving it back to the Father whenever I can't handle the back. Go past the man, who said it's that listed in me that I need him more than I need anything else in the whole world. No pearls compared to the poor world stored elsewhere.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio listeners and my Running for Christ Ministries family.
I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our Wednesday night advanced Bible reading class. If you need a book, you can go to our website, rfsdm.org, and you can find a link there to where you can purchase the book or obtain one. I have a few rules that I would like to ask. First, if you would like to participate in a discussion or answer any questions, please press 1, and that will put you in the host queue. Also, please try to keep down the background noises to a minimum. It is better that you use the mute button until you are ready to speak. Again, my name is Deaconess Loretta Welch. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come together to get understanding and clarity of your word. We sit at your feet humbly, awaiting you to shine through us, illuminating our spiritual growth so that others may see and hear us and want a relationship with you as well as we have. Let this platform be inviting for those who are seeking you. Use me to make this word understandable and fun. Father, we ask that you allow us to make you a part of our everyday lives so that we can show people what it's like to walk and talk with you. We ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I don't know who's out there. Can I hear who's out there?
Good evening.
All right.
Good evening.
All right, I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, Ms. Welch.
Yes, all right, all right.
I got the whole gang.
Okay, we got everybody that I'm used to hearing.
Well, last week, my phone was, what you call it, locked out. They was working on it at the place. They locked me out, and I had 3 days before I could get a phone back.
Oh, okay. All
so
right.
I,
well, that's okay.
Your husband,
we all welcome your presence, Brother Eric and Mother Irma and you, Sister Rebecca, always. Thank you guys for attending. And let us begin by, first of all, reading Joshua 1, verses 1 through 6. Can I get a reader for that, please?
Wait a minute, what did I do?
I know.
Okay. Joshua, first chapter, verse 1 through 6. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the May wilderness in the south of the Lebanon Mountains, in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as I live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Last verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so
Amen.
Now as we listen to this, this is as the book of Joshua opens, the Israelites are camped along the east bank of the Jordan River at the very edge of the Promised Land, and they are completing the mourning period for Moses. who had just died 39 years earlier. After spending a year at Mount Sinai and receiving God's law, the Israelites had an opportunity to enter the promised land, but they failed to trust God to give them victory. As a result, God did not allow them to enter the land, but made them wander in the wilderness until the disobedient generation had died. Amen. And during their wilderness wandering, the Israelites obeyed God's laws. They also taught the new generation to obey God's laws so that they might enter the promised land called Canaan. As the children grew, they were often reminded that faith and obedience to God brought victory, while unbelief and disobedience brought tragedy. The last of the older generation had died, and the new generation had become adults. The Israelites prepared to make their long-awaited claim onto the promised land. So this is where we are in verses 1 through 6. And, you know, it constantly points out to us that the obedience is what God seeks. That's even today. If you want to prosper, you want to succeed, you have to follow God's obedience. You have to be obedient to God. You have to make God, go to God for everything, you know. And the Israelites were given so much, and they still fail. Even God made them the chosen people. They still fail. And as we go along the story, they still fail. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's like we are today. We're not, you know, we're obedient, but not all the time. You know what I'm saying? So I look at things like nothing has really changed, but God is still here. God is still willing to walk with us, talk with us, and guide us. But it's up to us to choose the obedience. When every day that you wake up, it's your choice to go left or to go right. You know, and I've learned, and I keep learning, and he keeps showing me that anything that I do that I don't go to him first, it's not going to prevail. He's going to always let us know that we need him to move forward in anything. Amen? So as Joshua succeeded Moses as Israel's leader, what qualifications did he have to become a leader? Here are some of the qualifications he had. One, God appointed him, first of all. You know, two, he was the only one of two living eyewitnesses to the Egyptian plagues and the exodus from Egypt. Three, he was Moses' personal aide for 40 years.
Right.
And the fourth reason was, of the 12 scouts, only he and Caleb showed complete confidence that God would help them conquer the land. Amen.
Amen. I remember that. Yeah.
Remember, because everybody came back and they gave these reports with the way
they were so giants. They were giants and all that.
Yeah. They really were terrified, but they had the confidence that if God told us we can go and conquer and do this, then
we can make it happen.
We can make it happen. Amen.
Right. Yeah, but Joshua, he had that on-the-job training with, like you say, for them 40 years. So that was his best attribute.
Exactly. You know, that's like how Pastor, you know, picked his associate pastor and ministers and all that. These are people that have trained under him and watched them, you know what I'm saying, and have learned from him. And as they pass it on, we are the ones that are learning that we learn from them.
True that.
You see what I'm saying? So we know what's expected of us and what to do, what is assigned for us to do. You know, and that's the way it was then. You know, that's the way it was back then too. So like I said, no matter what happens in this biblical in a biblical setting, we're still living it out day by day.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wouldn't know what, where, when, or how if we didn't study and watch somebody else do it. Amen?
Real talk, yes.
Yep. Okay, and it says, also, because Joshua had assisted Moses for so many years, he was well prepared to take over the leadership of the nation. Changes in leadership are common in many organizations. At such times, a smooth transition is essential to the establishment of the new administration. This doesn't happen unless the leaders are trained. If you are currently in a leadership position, begin preparing someone to take your place. Then when you leave or are promoted, operations can continue to run efficiently. Amen. And that's the whole thing. Because, you know, right now while our pastor is enjoying his anniversary, this program is still running efficiently. Because somebody has sat under him, watched him, and he has set us up to be able to run this without him being here. Amen.
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 It says, so if you want to be a leader, learn from others so that you will be prepared when the opportunity comes. Amen. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Now I'm going to read from our books here. We can read the promise of the land under the lesson exposition. Joshua 1-6.
Say that again.
I said we're going to read the promise of the land, Joshua 1-6, under the lesson exposition in our
book. Okay.
Because Oliver read his straight from the scripture.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'll start it off. A command, Joshua, first chapter, verses 1-2. Moses was dead. A new era was beginning in the history of Israel. The people were camped on the east side of the Jordan River, having been led there by Moses in their journey forward towards the land of Canaan. Moses had been told he would not be allowed to lead them into the land. That's Numbers 20. Well, so it was time for a new leader. Moses was known as the servant of the Lord. That's Joshua 1:1, a title that is repeatedly used for him throughout this book. Joshua 24:29 shows that the title was also used for Joshua by the time of his death. Since Joshua had previously been appointed as Moses' successor, that's Numbers 27:15-23, and Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 14-23, he no doubt took the leadership role immediately after Moses' death. He had served as Moses' assistant for many years, so he had been well-groomed for the position. Nevertheless, a change of leadership always carries certain uncertainties and adjustments. It was important for Joshua to have God reaffirm to him what he was to do. God will always know when we need that kind of encouragement, came to Joshua with an important message. We cannot tell exactly how God gave Joshua this message, but when it came, it was clear. The death of the previous leader did not thwart God's plan for his people. Now it was time for a new leader to move ahead with it. Joshua was to lead the people across the Jordan River into the land God was going to give them. This was the land he promised Abraham, that's in Genesis 12:7. It has been a long time since the promise has been given, but no matter how long it takes, God never goes back on his word to his people. Amen.
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 And like I said, once again, that once God tells you what he wants you to do and how he wants you to do it, all you have to do is be obedient. And he does the rest. You know. And in this instance, you know, it's like, say you have a family structure and the father's gone, but then you have a son and he steps up into the plate to reassure the mother that everything is going to be all right. You know, but he has to be obedient. He has to have watched and learned from the father what to do and how to do it. That's in any leadership position. You know, all of us, everybody wants to be a chief, you know. And a lot of times you run into it where it's too many of them. But the ones that I look up to are the ones that learn from the top, you know, as it trickles down. I'm I try to consider myself to be strong and courageous, and this is what this sermon is about, you know, but still, it's a lot of uncertainties when you step up in a position as a teacher, as a minister, as a person that everybody's going to listen to or look up to. It's still uncertainties we have, but when you are obedient to God and you do what God says for you to do, then he does the rest. All you have to do is be obedient. And that's what this is, telling us that the obedience to God is what made Joshua able to be strong enough to carry the people over to across the Jordan River. It was his obedience, because he surely wasn't mentally feeling that he was capable of doing this. He had to have God reaffirm and reassure him. Amen?
Okay.
And so now let's get somebody to read Joshua 1, 3 through 4.
Hold on. Joshua, wait a minute.
It says,
Joshua 1, 3 through 4.
Yep.
I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness to the south, to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from Euphrates rivers in the east, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so here again, it says, what an all-inclusive, powerful word this was. Wherever Joshua would lead God's people, God would give them the land. We know that much more than simple walking, the territory was going to be involved. The times of war and struggle lay ahead for them, but God promised victory.
Okay.
But they were unhesitantly engaged in every conflict with faith in him. They would gain control over the entire land. The land was already determined to be theirs. All they had to do was take it. You know, and that's another thing. You know, when you walk with God, what's the scripture about being sure-footed? When you walk with God and you approach something with God, it's a certain amount of stamina, you know. You know, it's like the confidence that you get, because you have this supernatural power, supernatural belief, supernatural courage and strength.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Joshua had. Not only did he have the strength of God, but he watched Moses for 40 years. So he knew exactly what God wanted, how God wanted, and regardless to whatever doubts he might have had, he carried it out in the way that Moses showed him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, okay. Let's read the, yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Where did Eric read from, please?
I don't know where Eric read from. Maybe his Bible.
Oh, yeah, I did. I'm sorry. Yes, I did.
That's okay, because I read the part that I wanted you to read, but it's okay. It also,
I apologize.
You know, there's no apology for reading scripture, ever.
I mean, I'm just surprised that I didn't read the right thing for you.
Well, it says the same thing, Eric, and it gave me, then I just used how they broke it down, you know, in our books to back up what you said. But, you know, that's where we are. We were reading from the book because that's where I want you guys to get the answers for the questions that we're going to answer later.
What scripture did he read? Did he read 3 through 5 through the, what did he read?
He read Joshua 1, 3, and 4. Did he read 3 through 5?
No, it was 3 and 4.
Okay. Well, that's what I asked him to read, Joshua 1, 3 through 4. Yep.
But from the Bible, not from the...
I apologize that I didn't read from the book. I'll be honest. I don't know where my book is.
Okay. You're going to get it.
Yeah, that's why I'm just listening tonight.
Okay. No, you're fine. You're fine because, you know, in the book it's got the scripture as well. So... you're good.
Thank you.
As long as we get the scripture and the commentary breaking down the scripture, then we can know where the answers are in the book. Amen?
Amen.
No. Amen.
Okay.
Pastor said a third way to teach his book last week. We're supposed to be using the student book. Yeah. Pastor said not to use the teacher book.
We don't have a teacher's book for the fall quarter, Mother Irma. We all have the same book.
Thank you.
The student book.
Yeah, but that's why I did it. You know, the thing is that he didn't read the text from out the book, but it said the same thing. But after he read it, I read it from the book. You know. It's all good because at the beginning of the lesson, here's the scripture from the Bible. It's the actual scripture. And then it has the exposition. That breaks it down for you, you know, in more layman terms, but it's still the scripture. So, Mother Irma, can you read the reassurance, Joshua 1, 5 through 6?
From the student book.
From the book.
What more could God say than this? Am I in the right place?
Yes,
nobody would be able to successfully resist Joshua's advance and victory. The secret of Moses' success had been the constant presence of God, and now Joshua was being reassured that the Lord would be present with him, just as he had been with Moses. God emphatically stated, "I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Since Joshua had already observed many times how God had sustained Moses, this reassurance would have given him the added incentive he needed to proceed. Somebody's moving around too much, please.
Yes. Who's that?
In this message, God told Joshua four times that he should be strong and courageous. The result would be the successful conquering and dividing of the land among Israel's tribes. Joshua would have to exhibit these characteristics because the road ahead was going to be long and difficult. Before everything was done, 7 years would pass. The only requirements for him was strength and courage, which he would find in placing his complete trust in the Lord. The battles were going to be God's, not his. Just as God promised to never fail or forsake Joshua, so he will always be with us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Psalms 46. Amen. Thank you.
Yes. And also here in the Bible, in our book, in our scripture, it says, Joshua's new job consisted of leading more than 2 million people into a strange new land and conquering it. What a challenge. Even for a man of Joshua's caliber, every new job is a challenge. Without God, it can be frightening. With God, it can be a great adventure. Just as God was with Joshua, he is with us as we face our new challenges. We may not conquer nations, but every day we face tough situations, difficult people, and temptation. God promises, however, that he will never abandon us or fail to help us. By asking God to direct us, we can conquer many of life's challenges. Amen.
Amen.
And so, like I said, whatever story is that they use to help us to understand or get clarity on the ability of God, it still stands today. Obedience, trust in the Lord breeds success and allows you to lead others. But without those things in your life, you know, you can't do it. Because, you know, after 7 years of fighting, though, you know, you would like be like, okay, Lord, when is this going to end? But then when he come out on the other side after those 7 years, he has the same title as his success, as the person he succeeded. You know, he gets the same recognition as Moses, and he was just the aid to him. You know, and that's the way it is today. You know, sometimes you know everybody want to be in the limelight. It's like Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. It's a time for everything, you know, and it's a time for us to learn, to sit at the feet, to learn from other people. It's a time for us to stand up and step up to that position. And it all happens by walking and talking with Christ and being obedient to God. You know, so many times we have read where if we do what God says, then this goes this way. How many times have you given up and tried to make it happen for yourself and failed because it wasn't the way God wanted it to be done? He wanted you to use him, you know. And so that's what I thought about as I read 1-6. I was like, well, you know what? It just constantly reassures me that whatever choices I make, whatever direction I'm going into, just to allow myself to let God direct me. Stop trying to do it my way. Stop trying to always make it happen for myself. Be still and know that he's God. Mm-hmm. Let him go ahead and make a path for me to walk in righteousness rather than me trying to make it for myself, for ourselves. And so this is another prime example of something we read about to teach us something that we can live with and learn today and apply it to our everyday lives. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Now, let's read Joshua 11:16-19.
The land Joshua took, the conquering of the land of Canaan was accomplished through three major campaigns. The initial one occurred in central Canaan, and it included the taking of Jericho and Ai. After which the inhabitants of Gibeon, through deceit, secured a covenant agreement with Israel. When word of this covenant agreement got out, several kings from the southern part of Canaan banded together to punish Gibeon. This obliged Joshua to come to Gibeon's rescue, which was followed by an extended campaign in the south. When word of all this success reached the northern cities, they formed a huge alliance. But God told Joshua not to be afraid. He was to take the initiative by attacking those allied forces and watch God deliver them all into his hands. Thus, the northern campaign was accomplished quickly, and the city that lay the alliance was burned to the ground. This completed the fulfillment of everything God had commanded Moses, who in turn had passed the command on to Joshua. Verse 16 summarizes by simply stating, so Joshua took all that land, and follows this with details. Most of the areas mentioned were in the central and southern regions, but Baal-Gad is specified as being in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon. This was in the far north. The intention of this detailed listing of conquered cities is to confirm that the entire land was taken by Joshua and his army. As God had promised, every place he set his foot, he was able to conquer. To further emphasize the completeness of Joshua's victory, it is stated that every king was captured, struck down, and slain. Every city was considered to be a separate entity, each with its own king. It explains there were so many kings in one land. Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, so, you know, again, many people feel that prosperity and success comes from having power, influential personal contacts, and a relentless desire to get ahead. But the strategy for gaining prosperity that God taught Joshua was against such criteria. He said that to succeed, Joshua must first be strong and courageous because the task ahead would not be easy. Second, to obey God's law. Third, constantly read and study the book of instruction, which is God's word, to be successful. Follow God's words to Joshua. You may not succeed by the world's standards, but you will be a success in God's eyes. And his opinion is most important. Like I said, no matter what we read in this Bible, this is a story to tell us to keep reading God's word, to keep following God's instructions, to keep being obedient to God. If we want to be successful, if we want to, you know, to grow spiritually, you know, it all points back to us being obedient and to be strong and courageous with whatever we have to face. Because, you know, as I've said before, God never promised us that our life would be perfect. But he promised us he would be there every step of the way, just like he promised Joshua. And Joshua gained success by trusting and believing in God and following his word, just as we should today. Is there anything anybody else might want to say or any questions anybody want to ask?
Not me.
Okay. Well, we're moving kind of rapidly, but that's okay because we still have the questions to ask, to answer. So can somebody read the battle of Joshua 4, 11, 18 through 19?
I'll read it.
Okay.
The battles Joshua fought, Joshua 11, verses 18 through 19. Two facts are given in these verses. First, this war took a long time. Warren Wiersbe in the Bible Exposition Commentary, Old Testament, Victor explained, the long time of verse 18 is about 7 years. Israel's failure at Kadesh Barnea in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14, at which time Caleb was 40 years old. Joshua chapter 14, verse 7, to their crossing of the Jordan was 38 years. He was 85 when the conquest was over, verse 10, which means that at least 7 years had been devoted to the campaign. The second fact is that how men from Gibeon came to Joshua pretending to be from a city. Deception. The leaders of Israel who neglected to seek God's advice about the matter, verse 14, fell for the ploy and made a costly treaty with them. Because of this treaty, the Israelites could not destroy the Gibeonites, verses 18 through 19. When God's people fail to consult and follow him, they must live with the consequences. Many readers struggle with the idea that God would command such violence against people. An examination of the evils prevalent in Canaan, which are found in several passages in the Bible, helps us understand that this was a matter of justice on God's part. The sin of the Canaanites included incest, adultery, child sacrifice, homosexuality, and bestiality, Leviticus 18, verses 1 through 25.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay, and also it says the conquest of much of the land of Canaan seems to have happened quickly. We can read about it in one setting, but it actually took 7 years. We often expect quick changes in our lives and quick victories over sin. Our journey with God is a lifelong process. However, the changes and the victories may take time. It is easy to grow impatient with God and to feel like giving up hope because things are moving too slowly. When we are close to a situation, it's difficult to see progress. But when we look back, we can see that God never stopped working. Amen. And like I said, every time we read something, there's no change in God. God is consistent from Alpha to Omega. So he's still here for us. He's still standing by us. He's still helping us. He's still keeping us for those who believe and obey him. Mm-hmm. But when you go outside of God, you know, you have to reap the consequences just like they did here. When they didn't do what God told them to do and they made a treaty, after you made that treaty with them, you had to stick by that treaty. Mm-hmm. And so those people couldn't be destroyed, but they made the treaty so they wouldn't be destroyed, despite the lifestyle that they have lived. You know, so I think it was kind of smart on their behalf because they saw the destruction that was going on. They didn't want to be a part of that. So, you know, they came and took sides with Joshua. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amen. Anybody have any comments or anything, any questions?
Mm-mm. Good.
Yeah, we got a quiet class tonight. Moving right along then.
Can I say something? Make a statement?
Yes, you may.
Okay. With Joshua, he had a lot of courage and then a lot of trust in God, because for the kings to all get together, the kings are the ones that at that time had the power, you know, at least they thought they had. And for them to get together and try to plot and go against Joshua, and for Joshua to still be confident, like you said, it reminds me of that, like a statue, because he went with confidence. And, you know, I know me, I would probably be a little terrified here. I'm going up against a lot of presidents and stuff like that. I probably would be scared, you know, but he had that confidence. So that's what God wants us to do, is to trust and rely on him, because he's the one with the power, you know.
So exactly.
A good lesson. Yeah.
Yes, it is. You know, and it shows you again, no matter how many people are against you.
Yeah.
If you got God, they don't have a win.
Mm-mm.
They don't have a win. You know, and then you know, I've been in situations where I didn't feel too comfortable. But I knew if I did and made the right choice at that time, that I would come out all right.
Wow.
You know, and so it's the same thing here. You know, I'm quite sure Joshua, you know, first of all, just being given this position where he's used to being the aide to the one that God is leading, then all of a sudden you're thrown in that position. But he watched Moses, and like they said, he was prepared to, if he ever had to step up to the plate, he knew what to do and how to handle it, and he knew how to let God lead him because he learned from Moses himself. You know, and he also saw, too, that what Moses did, and God told him, well, no, you can't go into the promised land because you were disobedient. I used you as a leader to show and bring my people to safety. And then you got to the point where you felt you could disobey me. So, no, you will not get into the promised land. But God made sure that there was somebody that followed Moses and was under his leadership that could step up to the plate. You know, and that's why, like I said, even in the church, you know, pastor have assistant ministers and all that, because he's got somebody there set up if anything happens, that they can do it. You know, in every job in the churches, it's always somebody that if you can't do that job, then it's somebody else that they got on deck. Just the way life is, just the way God wants us to be, so that if there is a transition or something that has to change in the church or in your life, that it goes smoothly if you do it with God.
And that's what makes a great leader.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Let us read Joshua 11:21-23. The completion of the task.
When Moses had sent the 12 spies into Canaan from Kadesh Barnea, they came back with a mixed review. He had told them to check out the people, the land, and the cities. Numbers chapter 13, 18 and 19 verse. They found the land productive, the cities large and fortified, and the people strong. Verses 27, 29. But what dominated their thinking was the presence of the descendants of Anak, verses 28-33. For they were giants and made the spies feel as small as grasshoppers. The Anakim conquered by Joshua were those giants who had once seemed so invincible, though they lived primarily in the mountains and were scattered throughout the land, as the mountains of both Judah and Israel are mentioned. They were still defeated. When God's people follow him obediently, the size of the problem makes no difference. Amen.
Amen. And read with your Mother Irma, fulfilling God's promises.
Okay.
Amen. Joshua chapter 11, verse 23, there was still much to do. Joshua 13 begins by stating that there was still much land to take all over the land. However, were established points of control from which the Israelites could work and secure their inheritance. Amen.
Amen. Okay, and it says, the descendants of Anak were the tribes of giants, and the Israelite scouts described them and gave their negative report on the promised land in Numbers 13 and 14. This time, the people didn't let their fear of the giants prevent them from engaging in battle and claiming the land God had promised them because they were told to be strong and courageous. They had a strong and courageous leader who was obedient to God. So this time when they engaged in war, they was out there fighting. You know, they were throwing down because we're obeying what God told us to do. And that's why, you know, they always say, with God, all things are possible, but without God, nothing is possible. And like I said, when you read this and you think about today's life, it seems like it's so many challenges in this world. But if you do it with God and you go to God first, I guarantee you those challenges, it might not feel good going through them. But when you come out on the other side, that's when you be standing up and say, thank you, God, you know, that you were there for me, that I listened to you, you know, and that's where it comes to be still and know that I am God. Let me fight these battles for you, even though physically you're the foot soldier, but it's God's strength and God's encouragement that pushes us to be successful in the things that we do. And when we become successful in the eyes of man, that opens up people's mind as to why were they able to do this that way. And then it might also make somebody want to want what you have. And that's that relationship with Christ. You know, so like I said, that's why I read my Bible so much, because when I read the Bible, it makes me take it personal as opposed to somebody telling me what it says. It makes me take it more personal when I read it myself. And, you know, these classes are a wonderful way of establishing a relationship with Christ, you know. And I get a lot out of it. And I'm hoping that those that are listening, you know, understand that we're all learning. There are no wrong answers. You know, it's just to be obedient to God, to listen to the word, to read the word, and make God's word a part of your everyday life. Because as you do that, you grow spiritually. The Holy Spirit comes to life as long as you trying to do what's right. You have that inner strength and courage that God gives you to face whatever adversity is in your life. Amen.
Amen.
So, well, let us go ahead and get into these questions. If there's no more comments or anything anybody wants to say today, we had a quiet class today. That's okay, though. You know what? The thing is that we're all still here learning. You know, me, I'm just so into now taking what I'm reading and see how it applies to my life today. And so it just makes you want to do better and be better and being obedient to God, you know. No matter how much strength or how strong I feel I am, I'm nothing without God. My strength, everything, every being comes from what God has given me. So I want to do it, use it right, and use it in a manner that people will want a relationship with God just like I have. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's go to the questions. Question number one, what title was used of Moses that was later also used of Joshua?
Okay, I got it.
In the first paragraph.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead.
I found it in the first paragraph on page 5, where it says, for a new leader, Moses was known as the servant of the Lord, a title that is repeatedly used for him throughout this book. Joshua 24:29 shows that the title was also used for Joshua by the time of his death.
Amen.
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 Amen. Okay. Question number two. What did the death of the previous leader do to God's plan for his people?
That's on page 5-2. And it is in the fourth paragraph. It says, the death of the previous leader did not thwart God's plan for his people. Now it was time for the new leader to move ahead with it.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question number three. Promise did God give Joshua prior to his entering Canaan?
It's on the same page 5, and it says a promise.
Okay.
I don't know if you want me to start from the beginning paragraph, but it says, what an all-inclusive, powerful word this was. Wherever Joshua would lead God's people, God would give them give him that land. We know that much more than simply walking the territory was going to be involved. Okay, I think that's it. Wait a minute. No. Times of war and struggle lay ahead for them, but God promised victory. He promised victory if they would unhesitantingly engage in a conflict with faith in him. They would gain control over the entire land, and the land was already determined to be theirs. All they had to do was to take it.
That's the answer right there.
Okay.
Yep. All the way from the times of the war, the struggle, all the way to the end of that paragraph, that was the answer to number three.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Question number four, how did God reassure Joshua that the victories would occur, and what was to be Joshua's attitude?
Okay. I did the next paragraph on 6. Reassurance.
Okay.
And I did that whole paragraph. What more could God say than this? Nobody would be able to successfully resist Joshua's advance and victories. The secret of Moses' success had been the constant presence of God, and now Joshua was being reassured that the Lord would be present with him, just as he had been with Moses. God emphatically stated, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Since Joshua had already observed many times how God had sustained Moses, this reassurance would have given him the added incentive he needed to proceed. Amen.
Amen. And so, and then ask, and what was to be Joshua's attitude as well? You know, it says, in this message,
to be strong and courageous.
Yes, that he should be strong and courageous. This result would be successful conquering and dividing the land among, Joshua would have to exhibit these characteristics because the road ahead was going to be long and difficult. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So you went further. Okay. Thank
yep,
you.
Yep. That was just the answer to what was his attitude supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question number five. What was the final phase of warfare for Israel in conquering Canaan?
Page 6, the very about the taking of the land.
Mm-hmm.
The conquering of the land of Canaan was accomplished through three major campaigns. The first initial one occurred in central Canaan and included the taking of Jericho and Ai, after which the inhabitants of Gibeon, through deceit, secured a covenant agreement with Israel.
Okay.
Did I read on?
Yes.
Okay. When word of the covenant agreement got out, several kings from the southern part of Canaan banded together to punish Gibeon. This obligated purposes of the...
Okay. After you read that, then that'll be it. Because you'll answer the question.
To come to Gibeon rescue, in which was followed by an extended campaign in the south.
Okay, amen. So it starts at the bottom of page 6, the land Joshua took, and it goes to the top of page 6.
Mm-hmm.
For answer number 5.
Okay.
So question number 6, why were there so many kings for Joshua to conquer?
Page 6, the last paragraph of the taking of the land, it says, to further emphasize the completeness of Joshua's victory, it is stated that every king was captured, struck down, and slain. Every city was considered to be a separate entity, each with its own king. This explains why there were so many kings in one land.
Amen. That's what I had. Anybody have anything different?
Nope, I had that.
Okay. Question number 7. How long did it take for Israel to capture Canaan, and how do we know that?
That's page 6, at the bottom of page 6.
Yep.
It says, two facts are given in these verses. First, this war took a long time. Warren Wiersbe in the Bible Exposition Commentary, Old Testament, Victor, explained, the long time of verse 18 is about 7 years. Israel's failure at Kadesh Barnea, Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14, at which time Caleb was 40 years old, Joshua chapter 14, verse 7, to their crossing of the Jordan was 38 years, 85 when the conquest was over, verse 10, which means that at least 7 years had been devoted to the campaign.
Amen. Okay. Yes. Question number 8. What one city was not conquered, and why was it left alone?
My head on. Oh, you can go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
I had on page 7, the one, two, the second paragraph, because of this treaty, the Israelites could not destroy the Gibeonites. Verses 18 and 19. when God's people fail to consult and follow him, they must live with the consequences.
Amen. I just took it from the second fact, but that's the answer.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you much.
You're welcome.
Let's move on to question number 9. Why was it so important to know that Joshua conquered the Anakim?
Is it on the top of page 7? The Anakim conquered by Joshua were those giants who had once seemed so invincible, though they lived primarily in the mountains and were scattered throughout the land, as the mountains of both Judah and Israel are mentioned. They were still defeated when God's people follow him. Obediently, the size of a problem makes no difference.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep, amen.
Yep. And question number 10. Since God fulfilled his promises, did Israel fully control the land?
Okay, the last, on page 7, the last paragraph.
Okay.
Fulfilling God's promises, there was still much to do. Joshua 13 begins by stating that there was still much land to take. All over the land, however, were established points of control from which the Israelites could work and secure their inheritance.
Amen. So yes, since God fulfilled his promises, Israel fully controlled the land because they had enough stake in the territory where they couldn't lose. And that's what God had told them, to secure the land, because everywhere you set foot will belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
We're done pretty early because it wasn't much conversation, but that kind of took the story itself, you know. And just like I said before, we look at these stories as guidelines for ourselves in our own lives. Whatever we face in life, if we face it with God, we're going to come out winners. But if you go and try to do it on your own or do it in another way, then you know you're not going to be successful at whatever you do. You know, and we still, as humans, we'll still try. Especially, just think about it, to be going through something for 7 years, you don't think that at one point you want to try to see if it worked your way? But, you know, this is telling us that no matter what we go through, how hard it seems, how much adversity, that God is still with us. It may not be done in the time that we want it to be done, or it may not even be done how you want it to be done. But if you walk and talk with God, it shall be done. Amen?
Amen.
So I thank you guys for participating in tonight's class. I didn't really think it was going to be over this soon, but it is.
Beautiful job. Beautiful job.
Thank you much.
Can I say one thing? It puts what? You in the mind of, or have me in my mind with the scripture from Philippians 4:13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So
right.
And it really, like I said, had me thinking about that as well, because as long as we do whatever we need to do, it has to be done, we do it through Christ, we're going to be successful.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's a wonderful thing that no matter how many times we don't get it right or whatever, you know, just like the Israelites, for an example, who failed miserably, but God still stood by him. God still gave him the opportunity to turn around and to get it right, you know. even if they walked in a circle for 40 years, God still made it so promise was kept that they went into the promised land. You know, that's the same thing with us. Even if we don't get it right the first time, you know what I'm saying? God still promised us that if we be obedient to him, he'll make sure that we prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I pray that. I want us all to have spiritual growth. I want everybody to have a relationship with Christ because it's out there. You have to be ready. You have to say yes to God. God's not going to force himself on you no matter how much power he has. He wants us to say yes to him. Then he'll come in and show up and show out just like he did for the Israelites.
Man.
So I thank everybody again for participating. The lesson was short, simple, and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope everybody got a little bit off that plate that they can still chew on tonight. And
it was a good, a very good lesson. I took down some notes and things like that. I just look at it as some down-home life experiences, you know, because we go through, you know, the same thing that they go through in the Bible, just a different time. And disobedience to God, being hard-hearted and hard-headed, and the consequences that come behind that. And then I like what you said about setting others up to take over leadership, you know, pass it on to the next generation of leaders, you know, creating leaders.
Right.
And not keeping it all to ourselves. You know, you have to make sure that the next generation or somebody could take over, you know, even in just in our families. Who's going to take over your home? Who's going to take over, you know, whatever it is that's important that you have to, you know, put somebody in charge of. Or else it would just, you know, be a mess. Yeah. And then, like you said, we need God for everything. Everything.
Yes.
Can't make it without him.
Yes,
or you'll make your life hard. We'll make our life hard not, you know, doing what God wants us to do and let him be our leader.
I said, and then you suffer the consequences when you try to do it without God.
Suffer the consequences. I tell you, it's so hard trying to do it by ourselves. It's hard.
It is.
It's very hard.
And still, we get in a position and we still try to make it work. Always.
And I guess we all can testify to how much easier it is to follow God, follow his lead.
Yeah.
I know I can.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know
life
I can.
Is.
Hey, Deacon told me to stop testifying.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm doing Christians, but you know, sometimes these scriptures are bring a testimony out of you. You know? And I like to be transparent, and I like to for people to know where I came from. So they know how glad I am to be where I am today, you know.
Man,
but like I
said,
me to actually read the Bible, you know. It's just sitting in church and sitting on a pew. If you don't open up this book, I don't think you get the experience of making it personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
true.
And so that helps me so much. Is to have my own
testimony helps somebody else to grow as well. They are not the only one that's even been through it or had the experiences that maybe you have, but they're not alone, and they have to put their trust in God. Amen. I think they don't need.
And I work with a individual that's on the board, and she's a Christian. She's in her 80s, probably 81, 82, and.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I started out, this is my ninth year really working with her. So the first year, she would always complain, I did this, that, I did this, I can't get no help, I did this, I did this. So I started volunteering to help her out.
Okay.
Whatever time we set, and she's very punctual. If we set a time at 9 a.m., I get there at 9 a.m., she's nowhere to be found. Well, I'm calling different locations trying to find her, and I can't find her. So, but any time I offered to be of some assistance, she would stand me up. So I'm like, well, man, she don't want my help. So she done did it so many times. So I kind of got upset, worldly with her. And I told her, you know, I just want to help you. You know, you're up in age. I'm not in the best shape, but the little stuff that you're doing, I could be of some assistance. So she said, you act like you jealous of me. I didn't offer any other help. But what I did let her know, I said, you know, by us being, you know, up in age, we should be showing and teaching others. So if something happened to us, somebody else should know. We're supposed to be passing the baton on, but after she told me I was jealous of her, I said, okay, no more. She don't want my help. Because she wants all the recognition saying, I did this, I did that, I did that. And I said, well, if something happens to you, how are we going to know where anything is? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I just left it alone.
Just watch her closely. You know, just watch her so you'll have some insight of what's going on more than anybody else, because nobody else is trying to help her either. So, you know, I understand, you know.
Well, yeah, God made more than one creative person. Yeah. God made more than one creative person. So somebody going to come in and be able to do, you know, just as good or better.
Somebody might come in that sit her down. They can run circles around her.
I think she's going to have to sit down soon. Yeah, I think she's going to have to sit down because she's in the stage where she's forgetting stuff, you know, And someone said, you know, that's taxpayer's money, and you all have the stuff, so why are y'all still renting it if you all have it? So I said, okay. I'll deal with it, you know.
Okay,
Yeah.
Well, God bless you in that situation, sweetie.
Amen. God gave everybody talent, gifts and talents. And, hey, it's always somebody that can, like you said, can do better and can do just as good. And
it's
all planned out. It's all planned out anyway.
It's all planned out, so
that's why it's better just go with God, because this thing is, you know, it's already predetermined, pre-planned, and all that. We just walk in
right,
really?
And you have to choose to walk that way with God and Him as the leader, and not be left behind. That's all.
Right.
It's better to be with them than without them.
Right.
Amen.
And then a quick comment too with Serena and Venus. It's a they were legends and did real good, but it's always someone that's going to come behind you. And I'm so good. It's another black young tennis player that just won a really big thing. It was on the news this morning. You know,
right.
So there are people that come behind us, and she stated the reason I'm good is because I did watch Serena and Venus. They were my, you know, models.
Right.
You know,
right,
so I did what they did. So, and she's just as good as them. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So good. They opened the door. Wow.
They opened the door.
Yes, they did.
Wow. Great.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what we're here to do, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, we're here to open the door for those that are invited to just walk in and accept it the way, accept Christ and to make Him a part of their lives. And it's good to sit here with other believers and other people who are trying to live right and do right in God's eyesight. You know, we are truly, I believe, we are making so many disciples in this church that, you know, I wish that we do leave a legacy or a footprint out there so that people will want to come to Running for Christ and to help build the body of Christ up even stronger than what it already is. Because I know that we have a team of true believers, and we're coming from them. We have so many different classes, so many platforms that came, you know, that are out there now through Running for Christ, that there is no excuse not to know the Lord, to hear the word, or even to learn the word, because you can come join us while we're learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thank God for that, you know, that we're just not trying to hold it within ourselves or within our walls, that we're reaching others and that people are coming and joining and listening. I thank God mm-hmm. for this platform, and I thank God for my sisters and brothers at Running for Christ Ministries. Because we
Amen.
Couldn't make
Amen.
It happen. These classes yeah. couldn't happen if we didn't participate in each other's classes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, hopefully we'll get more participation. And, you know, and we are examples. And, you know, we want people to say, well, I want to go to the church you go to. Oh, I want to, you know, get what you got, you know. Because you know, you're not complaining, you're not crying, you know, you're just peaceful, you know what I mean? You want people
right.
to be able
yeah.
to look at us and be examples and want what we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 That's it. Beautiful class.
Yeah. Any more questions, any more comments anybody has to say before we close?
Yeah, I got a comment. I'm going to be... next week is on me, so I'm going to need you all help and y'all support, and definitely the help next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're up next week?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to need y'all help.
Girl,
for sure.
You don't need our help. We'll be there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Before you close, Loretta, you done? Because I just have some announcements, so let me know when you're ready for me to do an announcement.
Okay, go ahead, huh? I'm done. I stretched it out as much as I could. I thank you all for your comments. Like I said, and your participation, let's just keep the love and the patience with each other because we're all learning. You know,
yes, we are.
In God's book, we're all even in God's eyes, you know. To create it equal. So anything that you want to say or add to it, feel free. I don't want nobody to feel that, oh, my answer is wrong or, you know, it's not that. It's that we all end up on the same accord, that we get the mm-hmm. same knowledge out of the scriptures that we're reading together. That's what the classes are meant for, to put us on one accord.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful lesson, and everybody was on one accord. Good job, Loretta. Uh-huh. And as you heard, Keila Freeman will be up next week for a class. What's the name of your lesson, Keila?
She disappeared.
Oh, okay. No, I'm on here.
Rahab and the spies, I think.
Yeah,
okay.
Rahab and the Spies. Yeah.
Rahab and the Spies next week, and that's what chapters are there for ones just listening?
It's the lesson text
from
Joshua,
start.
Joshua 2, chapter 2, verses 3 through 9, and 15 or 16, and 22 through 24.
Okay, repeat that, Joshua.
Chapter 2, verses 3 through 9.
Joshua 2,
also
verses 3 through 9. Mm-hmm.
15 and 16.
And
22.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, uh-huh. 2. And then 22 through 24.
Okay, so get a head start on that, you know, if you don't have a book, but those are the chapter scriptures, Joshua 2. 2 through 9, then 2, 3 through 9, and then chapter 2, 15 and 16, and chapter 2, 22 through 24, correct?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great. Okay. So we'll look forward to Keila Freeman and her class next week. So the other announcements, we just want to recognize all our mothers, the mothers on the move of our church. We just wish them well. Want to recognize and acknowledge the sick and shut in, and continue to pray for all the care and request list
in our church, everybody that need care and request and a prayer. Pray for all the bereaved families. My neighbor, Mr. Tim Jones, passed away today, so pray for his family and all the other bereaved families.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and then we have, okay, Tuesday we have Richard Overall with training day, and that's at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. And then Friday, Tuesday and Wednesday, like I said, Keela's class, 6 o'clock next Wednesday, Keela Freeman. And Friday, bring back the family, tune in. Then we have Saturday worship service, 9 a.m. Saturday school, lesson, assistant pastor Janice Tate, followed by the 10 a.m. Morning worship service, and Terrence Tate, the preacher that's going to bring the word for that for Saturday.
Okay.
Sunday service. Yep, Sunday service at River Ridge High School, 9 a.m. Sunday school and 10 o'clock worship service. If you don't have a place to worship, then you're welcome to join us at the River Ridge High School on Sunday. Let's see, Pastor O. Pastor O will be bringing a message for Sunday. Okay? So govern yourself accordingly. And, you know, we want to congratulate and wish Pastor O and Sheila Sheeby Baby Holy Ghost congratulations on their anniversary. We want to just bless them with many more years. And we just want to say happy anniversary, Pastor O and Sheila, overall.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And those are your announcements. Govern yourselves accordingly. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen. Okay. Let us pray.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together because we know that the scripture tells us that where two or three are gathered in your name, then you're present. So, Father, that's what we have to understand, that we can always have your presence. If we're obedient. So, Father, we just ask that you come into our hearts, come into our lives, and come into our homes, Father, and use us to attract others to you by the way we live and the way we laugh and the way we share your word and learn your word together. Father, continue to allow us to grow and continue to allow us to be the best people that we can be. Not better than anybody else, but the best that we can be individually. Because when we come together, we make the body, with you being the head. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Trying to find a great song that we can close out on. Let me see. I had a song, but I can't find it. So we will. Okay. Oh, I tell you, when you get older, you need glasses to see everything.
Yeah.
Once again, that was a great lesson. Sister Loretta, you've been really teaching up a storm there.
Yeah. Hey, I'm looking forward to a break now. But it's okay. I don't mind. I don't mind teaching. I truly don't mind. It helps me to keep my mind straight, to keep my life straight, because I don't want to be sitting here telling you what God wants you to do if I ain't trying to do it myself. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
All right. Okay, well, I'm sure Pastor appreciate everything that everyone does, and we're just glad that he was able to get him a break and take his queen out for, you know, their special day and, you know, that they're having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just going to close with I Just Say Yes. How about that?
All right.
Okay, everybody have a beautiful evening. Thank you.
You
as well.
Trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord.